terrorism has become a global issue. It has become more international, more complex than ever, and that requires a strong coalition against the networks of terrorism. And the United Nations are naturally, since many, many years, a strong partner of Interpol. We are both supporting our member countries to be more successful in the fight against international terrorism and organized crime. And this conference is about strengthening our partnerships, for instance, with the UN Office for Counterterrorism, with the UN Counterterrorism Executive Directorate. These are just two partners, and we have a lot of joint projects going on currently, but it's also an opportunity to share best practice. Member countries come together, they report about their efforts, it's about sharing experience, sharing knowledge, but at the end, it's making our global network against crime stronger. And the most important point is that we inform each other on relevant information that is needed at the front lines of policing, because terrorists and criminals are definitely taking benefit from globalization.
I've got two words from you here: building strong coalitions and then information sharing.
Yeah.
In your experience, on a practical level, how challenging has this been to build an effective coalition against crime in a global sense, and then having the information come where people can use that information to counter terrorism?
I mean, no country and no region can fight these phenomena in isolation. It requires strong partnerships, mainly to exchange relevant information. Information is the key asset of the work of the criminal police specifically, or the police in general. So our key asset is the availability of information, and that's actually what Interpol is about. We have a global communication, secure communication system in place that is called I-24/7 that connects 192 member countries, police services all around the world, and provides a platform which is supported by the United Nations through UN General Assembly resolutions. Several UN Security Council resolutions are encouraging member countries to use this capabilities that Interpol provides, this global network. We are running 17 databases to identify criminals and terrorists, but this information needs to be accessible at the front lines of policing. So we are further developing, if you may say, a global early warning system against terrorism and organized crime. And once again, the UN is a great supporter, is a great partner, and of course the member countries. The UN and Interpol, we are serving the same member countries, of course, and this conference here in New York in these days is a wonderful opportunity and an important opportunity to strengthen our law enforcement network as well.
I know Interpol is particularly concerned about foreign terrorist fighters, and you are chairing a session, or you have chaired a session, to combat the evolving threat of these foreign terrorist fighters. What are the main challenges in addressing the dangers and the risks that foreign terrorist fighters pose globally?
I think the main challenge is the international dimension, and it's the complexity of the issue. In the past, terrorism has mainly been a national or regional issue in some of our member countries. Today it has become a global issue, and this is still growing, this issue. What do I mean? We have had the issue of the so-called foreign terrorist fighter. You mentioned that. So fighters who were joining into the conflict zone in Syria, Iraq from more than 100 countries. We have been building a database with support of our member countries that now contains more than 40,000 profiles of these foreign terrorist fighters. Why is it important to have access to this information? Because the foreign terrorist fighters, also after Daesh has lost most of its territory in Syria and Iraq, they are now traveling back to their home countries. That's one option. Another option is that they are joining other conflict zones around the world, in Africa, for instance, or in Asia, or in Europe. So they are traveling, and they are connected.
Can you give us one example of this success case where a foreign terrorist fighter has been stopped? And when they are stopped, how are they prosecuted or dealt with so that they are not let loose to go somewhere else and go and commit these terrorist crimes?
We have many examples. For instance, if a terrorist attack is executed, that we do crime scene analysis. We encourage our member countries to collect evidence. It could, for instance, be DNA. We have several cases where DNA in a crime scene was collected, from a suicide bomber, for instance, and this information was put into Interpol's DNA database. And so the information is accessible to all 192 member countries. And we have some of these success stories where these DNA led to identification of a terrorist in another continent. For instance, an attack that happened in Afghanistan or in Syria or Iraq, and a suspect was identified because of a border check, for instance, in Europe.
How successful are you now in 2018 compared to, say, 10 years ago?
We are much more successful because member countries are more and more contributing their relevant information into our databases, and we are very successful in further developing our network of information, not just to national central contact points, but also to critical border stations.
Let me ask you about protection of critical infrastructure, because I hear that is one thing that is of concern: nuclear plants, power plants, banking systems. Do you have evidence or suggestions that terrorists could be planning to attack these major installations in countries around the globe?
I mean, we're still terrorists mainly using very simple means, if I may say. We have had these many incidents where terrorists were using just knives, or they were using cars and trucks to attack people on the street or in restaurants or in bars or police officers or soldiers. So this is still mainly the main way they conduct their terrorist attacks, but we know that they are also dealing with other modi operandi. They are preparing it, and we are well advised to invest, for instance, in cybersecurity to protect our systems, but also, to mitigate the impact in case an attack happens. And we are currently at Interpol building a new unit that is specifically dealing with the protection of critical infrastructure, so contributing. And again, it needs to be a comprehensive and a holistic approach, because many partners need to come together, share their information, and must have a plan to be sure that we protect, for instance, critical infrastructures in our societies, which again are a new level of concern.
Mr. Jürgen Stock, head of Interpol, before you go, one last question. As an ordinary citizen here in New York, or maybe in Accra, Ghana, or in Berlin or London, or somewhere in Asia, in Japan, what message do you want to leave with me as an individual, a citizen of the world? Advice you want to give any one of us to help in the fight against terrorism?
I think everybody has a role to play. It's a societal challenge, terrorism. And again, first of all, it's important that we continue in our normal life. Secondly, it's important that we raise a little bit the level of awareness, that we are sensitive in terms we make any suspicious observation. It's important that we have a channel, for instance, to the local police, so in case we see something that is suspicious, that we inform the police services about this suspicion. Again, specifically prevention of extremism, prevention of radical careers. That requires a collective approach. So it's really a collective effort of the civil societies. Law enforcement plays a role, even educational bodies play a role. It requires a strong answer and a strategic answer, both on the national level, the regional level, and the international level. So we have to build this complementary architecture of security to be protected against terrorism, but also organized crime and cybercrime.